Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Jonathan Eaton. The name just sings of opera.
It does?
It does.
Methinks the gentleman doth protest too
much. It has a nice ring to
thank
it.
Thank you, thank
what
you.
What brought you to opera?
Well, I've always been involved in music. I didn't choose it particularly. It chose me.
Oh.
And it was the result of my parents sending me off to boarding schools in England when they lived in Africa. At a choir school, actually.
In Africa?
So, yeah, well, they were in Africa. I ended up in school in England.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask you if you knew some good tribal...
I do, actually. I could sing you songs in Swahili, if you wish.
I would like just
Mojumbili tatu, simbanakule viatu, mamanalia, simbanalia, mojumbili tatu. So you see,
I
was pre-selected for opera from my Swahili singing days.
I see. That was an education right there.
Well.
Now, what brought you to opera in Pittsburgh?
15 years ago, Mildred Miller, who founded Opera Theatre of Pittsburgh and was married to Wesley Posvar, Chancellor of Pitt, wanted to step down as artistic director, and her agent, because Millie was a superstar singer in her day, really one of the... you know, great artists of the 20th century. She'd founded her little company, well, quite a big company, actually, and was looking for someone to step in for her. She got her agent to do a bit of a search. And for my sins, he came up with me.
For your sins. And how long ago was that then?
15 years
so
ago.
So you've been with the company 15
leave.
Years.
I want to go, but I can't.
Pittsburgh's gotcha.
It has. I like it too much.
Well, you know, it's always struck me as interesting, looking across the country, there are cities that are the size of Pittsburgh or larger that are losing their one opera company. Yet right. Pittsburgh actually has several. There's actually a thriving opera community here in this city. What is it about Pittsburgh?
Well, firstly, it's a great city. So let's get that straight.
Let's get that out of the way.
That's one of the main reasons I love to stay here. but there are some historical reasons, too, that have to do with the steel barons of bygone days. Hmm. All those folks, the Carnegies, the Fricks, the McCunes, the Hineses, who were so wealthy in the 19th century and early 20th, left large sums of money in foundations. And somebody once said, Pittsburgh has more foundation money per capita than any other city in America. Oh. I don't know if it's true, but I do know that our foundation community are an absolutely magnificent group of men and women who support all sorts of activities through the foundations in Pittsburgh, many cultural, but also social, and some very forward-looking, ecological, for instance. So we have a terrific foundation community. And I think that, and of course, the great people of Pittsburgh, its spectacular location, mm-hmm. people like you, Brian, makes the difference.
Well, thank you, thank you. So within that thriving community here, what is opera theater's identity?
It lies in two areas, I think. Partly in our title, Opera Theater. We espouse a sort of music drama where the theatrical values are just as strong as the musical values. So it's not so much about an implausible lady singing in a foreign language 200 meters away on a distant stage. We like to present music drama up close and personal. We want the lady to be plausible. and I've always thought that opera should feel relevant, contemporary, should deal with issues of the day, and that people could go to an opera and not feel that they just don't get it or don't understand it. So that's the opera theatre component. That makes us different. Another thing that makes us different is the fact that we're now a summer festival. And interestingly, Pittsburgh has one of the six great orchestras in America. Everybody acknowledges, fabulous symphony orchestra. And it's the only one of the six cities with such glorious orchestras that doesn't have a summer festival associated with the orchestra. Boston has Tanglewood, Cleveland has Blossom, and so on. And we felt that we could better serve our community by stepping into that summer niche and becoming a summer festival, which we've done. And we're really excited to say that it seems to be going very, very well. We think we found our home for the summer. Your viewers may be able to see it just past our ears, a little teeny portion of it.
The 20th Century Club.
Yes.
Now, it is worth coming to see Opera Theater of Pittsburgh. I mean, just to get a glimpse of this building. I mean, let alone everything else that this company is doing. I was amazed when I feel like I'm in like the Great Gatsby or something right now.
It's spectacular. It's a private club, originally a women's only club. I'm quite sure that the fun story behind the founding is that, going back to those steel barons, yeah, they all built for themselves the Duquesne Club and the Pittsburgh Athletic Association, glorious institutions both, and wouldn't let their wives in. Now, the wives, as we know, control most of the purse strings and decisions made in most households. So they said, well, we're going to build our own club, and it's going to be more elegant, airy, spacious, and attractive than any of your old male fogey clubs. And so they did. And this private ladies' club now, men and women are members. I'm one too.
Congratulations.
To be, thank you. Opens its doors to our public in summer. You can come here, the parking's effortless. You can have a delicious dinner before a show in very, very elegant dining rooms. And then go and see a show in what must be the prettiest Art Deco theatre in the region.
I saw it today. It's
gorgeous.
Stunning.
If I could have one of those chandeliers in my bathroom, I'd be a happy man.
You would still have room to do bathroom things one of those chandeliers?
With a martini in my hand and a chandelier above my head, what more does a guy need?
That's true.
A companion.
That's very true. That's excellent. Very well said.
But just to get back from the flippant, the 20th Century Club's a fabulous institution. It's big. Millions of people have walked or driven past it and don't know what it is. It's one of those splendid old classical pieces of architecture in our city. We've got such great architecture here. Great old building, wonderful, beautifully preserved interiors, dinner before the show, drinks in these rather Gatsby gorgeous
lobbies.
So
you can have dinner here at the club.
Yeah. And then if you book a dinner here, you don't have to worry about finding a parking spot near the theatre, getting there before curtain up. We'll wait for you.
Very good.
As long as you don't, you know, delay too long on the dessert. And then after all of our main stage shows, because the building's so big and there are so many lovely spaces, we go up to a ballroom for free cabaret. Mm. And actually, even if you don't want to come to one of our operas or musical theatre works, come to the cabaret, my friend, after the main stage shows.
The only reason I might be hesitant is that I may never leave. You know,
we'll kick you out at 11 anyway.
Do they have residential quarters here?
Going back to the chandelier in the bathroom, they do have an old men's room. Now, bear in mind, this was a ladies' club, so the men's rooms were few and far between. And one of them has this gorgeous, great big antique clawfoot tub. And the ladies have wallpapered the sides of the tub to match the wallpaper in the room. And that's where one of these evenings I'm going to skive off from opera, hop in the tub, and take my dry martini with me.
Please do. And if we may, you know, have...
You can't join me. I'm sorry, Brian.
I was going to say... if we could have a photo.
We could raise money for the company, maybe.
There you go. Now, that
sell
is an
tickets.
Excellent idea. The ideas are happening right
they
here.
Are, yeah.
Here
I'm
in the 20th Century Club.
Yeah.
We're kind of in the middle of the summer festival right now, or the front end of it.
Yes, front end. We've had 1 week of 3 weeks, basically. There are three main stage productions, and they have a lovely summery and festive feel because we are Summerfest.
Indeed.
One of them is actually a gorgeous musical, The Fantastics, longest mm-hmm. ever running show on Broadway, super popular, not done so often. Written in the 60s, also written in a style that really benefits from full and beautiful singing. Mm-hmm. We like singing. We think people should find their voices and sing a little bit more. Because when you sing, you're happy. It raises the serotonin levels. Now, did you notice that?
I'm happy when I sing. I don't know if people around me are. But
would you like to audition for my company online, Brian?
Online? I don't know if I can compete with that Swahili chant, but let's see. You know what my go-to for karaoke for some reason is Dark Lady by Cher. Dark Lady left and danced and lit the candles one by one. I put a little Cher into it too.
There he goes.
I also saw her in concert here, you know.
He has dark hidden sides.
Right. Yeah, so if you ever do a Divas production, you could call me. But, you know, I'm an actor, so I can act like I can sing, mm-hmm. but I have no formal training, you know, so I can get by in musicals from time to time. But doing The Fantastics, what do you feel, you know, separates a opera from a musical?
Not much, actually. Same game. You could become academic and say, well, most operas have no spoken text, but many do, actually. You could say that all musicals are a mixture of songs and spoken text, but Les Mis has no spoken text. So they're all about telling stories through music and drama. It's really simple. The Fantastics has a fabulous score, great songs that lots of listeners will know. They may not know they come from The Fantastics, such as Do You Remember Those Days in September?
Yeah, I was way off. but I do remember.
You do. And those songs are beautifully sung, and there's a sort of joy in good singing. Mm-hmm. So we have a wonderful cast of crossover actor-singers. And we also have a super dancer. And the production, and this is a new take on The Fantastics, The Fantastics sort of got locked into one way of doing it for decades, because it ran on Broadway in the same format mm-hmm. for decades. So everyone thinks you have to do The Fantastics one way only. We don't, because we're the edgy, fun, provocative, inventive company in town. So we've brought in Peter Cope.
Oh, yes, with Attack Theatre.
Yeah, co-founder and artistic director of Attack Theatre. We've done lots of projects in the past together, Attack Theatre and Opera Theatre. We think they're fabulous. I know lots of others do. They're Pittsburgh's perhaps preeminent modern dance troupe. And Peter Cope's directing it, putting one of his dancers in, and putting his inimitable style onto the material. And I think it works beautifully. So it's as fresh and lively and new a version of a gorgeous old chestnut as you're ever likely to see. And we think that's as much part of opera theatre as, say, the next main stage show, which is a Viennese operetta, one of the greats. The Merry Widow has tunes which, again, virtually everybody knows, may not know where they come from. Pa-dum-pa, waltzes galore to spin with.
I do know that.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Lots of people will know it. It's a tuneful, delightful, very slightly naughty. There's a good can-can.
Oh, very I'm a sucker for a good can-can.
Yeah. So there's terrific music and drama. that's as much a musical comedy, actually, as The Fantastics is. People can come to that and see a true jewel of Viennese operetta. And then they can come and see the next musical comedy, which you would classify perhaps more as an opera. Less often done, this is a Richard Strauss, originally a German composer, no connection to the waltz Strausses from Austria. So Richard Strauss from
Munich.
It was
a common name over there. Yeah.
And his composition, Ariadne on Naxos. Perhaps one of the saving graces is that the librettist was an Austrian. So it's a musical comedy with some magnificent music. It's a rare jewel. It sort of falls between the stools a little bit in the world of opera or music drama. It's way too difficult for a musical theatre team. You were saying you're an actor who can act singing. It's very, very, very demanding singing indeed. In fact, it has one role with a super high soprano who could shatter a martini glass with one top C.
Have you ever seen anybody do that?
Yeah,
really?
Actually, every rehearsal we've had so far, we're running out of martini glasses.
No, are you kidding me?
Yes, you should come and see the show. You too will hear, then see, a glass shatter as
I always thought that was exaggerated. I didn't think that literally happened.
Not at Opera Theatre Summerfest.
Wow.
We shatter all glasses, guaranteed.
Wow.
Anyway, there she sings the longest 17-minute aria. It's all about flirting, basically, because you can flirt for a while.
Mm-hmm.
With more high notes than anything else ever written. The girl who does it is a goddess. She's absolutely fantastic. She's going to be a superstar of the future. So come and see that. Experience glass-shattering prowess there. And as I say, it's a musical comedy with magnificent music. It's not often done, perhaps because the big theatre companies... it doesn't fit into a 3,000 size hall like, say, the Benidorm Centre.
Mm-hmm.
It has a modest sized orchestra, no full chorus. So it's a medium scale piece that doesn't fit a large scale house. So the biggest companies in America won't do it. And it's way beyond the reach of any theatre company because the music is so fabulous and demanding.
Wow, so this is a rare treat,
it's
really.
It's a rare jewel, and it really is a jewel. And I say it's a comedy. The story, actually, is that a wealthy man, perhaps Andrew Carnegie, has commissioned a new serious opera to perform for his guests, and he's also hired a comic troupe of actors to perform for his guests. But dinner takes rather longer than anticipated, and there is, of course, a deadline imposed by the 9 o'clock fireworks show for his guests. So rather than miss out on a note of the music or a beat of the humour, he dictates that both the comedy and the serious piece need to be performed simultaneously on the same stage, side by side. So it really is musical comedy of the most glorious sort. And I defy anyone who likes Fantastics or Merry Widow not to fall in love with Ariadne too. So it's a whole summer of fun for the main stage events.
Indeed.
With it, yeah.
Lots to see. So when this all wraps up, what keeps you busy for the rest of the year?
Ha! Well, all this includes five recitals, including we had a marvelous recital by Marianne Cornetti.
Yes, yes.
Who is one of the great superstars of Pittsburgh. Local gal made good.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh champion. We back 'em. And she opened the festival with a celebrity recital and a masterclass yesterday, actually. We had another recital with the first winner of our first Mildred Miller International Voice Competition, who went straight to the Met. And then he keeps coming back to us, which we're delighted with. That was Andre Nemza, a Russian-American countertenor.
Hmm. What is a countertenor?
He sings like that.
Oh.
It's very high.
Oh, because so you wouldn't call that a soprano.
No. I was a boy soprano once, as were you. then nature took its course.
So, I mean, you could be singing the same notes, but they just have a different name for it.
Well, no. Actually, it's using a falsetto voice. You have too. Why don't you demonstrate your falsetto for everybody?
You could tell my...
That's it. Funnily enough...
What if I do the rest of the interview in falsetto?
Good try.
Can we? No, I'm not going to do that.
Lots of pop singers use it all the time, and you just don't notice.
Yeah, that's true.
So he's going to be a wonderful, renowned singer. And we've other concerts, a tribute to Richard Strauss concert, who wrote some of the most gorgeous songs you'll ever hear. Five concerts, vocal concerts in all. We have children's opera, the Jumping Frog of Calaveras County, where they used to hold frog jumping competitions, and Mark Twain actually attended one. He probably lost his shirt on the betting for these frogs. It was a gambling affair. But he wrote a very celebrated short story, which was then turned into a delightful kids' opera. That's at 11 every Saturday morning. Bring the kids, bring the grandkids, and we will teach you how to make an origami jumping frog afterwards.
I'm sold.
Me too, actually. That's the only reason why we're doing the production, all but right, don't well, tell then, anyone.
All right, well, we're going to get together and compare frogs.
Okay. what
Moving
else are we
on,
doing? Right? Oh, lots of happy hour. Do you want to hear about happy hour? Or what we
I always want to hear about happy hour.
We like to say opera theatre deals in new works, American works, and old works done in new ways.
I like
and
it.
That's true. And we commission new pieces every year. We do something that's new, because if opera doesn't renew itself, it'll become the wrong sort of museum art form.
Hmm.
So you've got to do new stuff. You've got to talk to people in their own language. The last couple of years, we did 10 mini operas and called them nightcaps. And they all took place in the same hotel room on subsequent nights, with, you know, various shenanigans going on from one night to the next, or one guest to another.
Yeah.
Lots of fun. They were a huge success, and they actually sold out.
Huh.
And the notion of contemporary opera selling out is vanishingly rare. So we thought we were onto a good thing, mixing, you know, hotel bedrooms, nightcaps, and opera together. And we thought we would try a similar mix this year, but at the other end of the spectrum, happy hour. So instead of ending your evening with a nightcap, you can start your evening with one of your famous martinis.
Indeed.
We have commissioned Roger Zahab, who's a wonderful local composer, and some terrific young artists who work in the playwriting department of Carnegie Mellon School of Drama, to come up with a dozen short vignettes that we can do as guerrilla opera in bars around town, or you might call it pop-up opera. So we've got 9 wonderful bars that we visit, and we take down to those bars at happy hour these short shows that are all about, well, for the most part, internet dating or hooking up in bars. One of them is about this girl who comes in, and she's meeting her internet date for the first time, and she discovers he's at least 15 years older and 50 pounds heavier than his photo was on the internet. Another is about 3 gals who are sitting, you know, separately in a bar, and this one's a cappella. And they're all having a quiet drink, and 3 guys are trying to hit on them, and they're just getting fed up with being hit on in bars. There are lots of other slightly outrageous stories. The lady firefighter, for instance. Now, she's an epic. Come and hear her. And eventually they all hook up together to become one piece.
Oh,
but
wow.
You could go to Sonoma Grill, Ceviche, The Sharp Edge, August Henry's, 1947. They're all downtown. 1947, Henry's Grill, all sorts of places around Shadyside. And if you happen to be there on one of our happy hour events, you will see some gorgeous gal. All of my singers are gorgeous gals. Some gorgeous gal walk into the bar, put her boombox on the counter, press the button, and off goes the scene. It starts. So that's fun. We like doing
that. Is a
things,
lot of fun.
Edgy things, fun things. So you could experience guerrilla opera as the nun said to the gorilla, around town, near you, at a bar near you, sort of. What else are we doing? We talking of new and interesting and wanting to be involved in issues of the day. We've commissioned for next year, actually, an opera inspired by Rachel Carson and her work. We think it's the first eco-opera.
Ah.
And it's about issues of the environment, about a young woman who, having read Silent Spring, discovers that DDT could damage her baby. She's pregnant. And she gets into, initially, a one-woman fight against her husband and his team who are marketing DDT. Mm. And the lady takes on the male establishment and wins. And we workshop the first chunk of that new opera. We workshop that this festival, and then we'll do a couple more workshops. We hope at the Zoo, the Carey Blast Furnace, the Phipps Conservatory, the Rachel Carson Homestead, places like that, leading up to the premiere next year. So there's a lot going on that's new, and even in this sort of elegant, venerable building, we're right up to date, and we like that. That's very cool.
And as you said, that's an important element in opera today.
It is, yes. You've got to renew all art forms. And sometimes there's an impression that opera isn't renewing itself, and I think you'll find in the cities where their one opera companies are withering on the vine, it's because the opera company isn't speaking to new, younger, and wider generations. And if it doesn't, then it may not have a place in our cultural spectrum of activities. But we like to appeal to all sorts of people and make opera fun, as I said, summery and festive. We also do everything in English. And this is now absolutely radical in the world of opera.
Yeah.
There are only, I think, two companies, really, that do things in English now, ourselves and Opera Theatre of St. Louis. And I think, particularly with a comedy, if it's not in the language of the audience, it's sort of silly. So that's another difference that distinguishes Opera Theatre and Summerfest from virtually all other opera companies in the country. We're different, and we're proud to be different.
Keeping opera alive and fresh.
And relevant and provocative and exciting and fun and naughty. I know that sounds very weird in an English accent, doesn't it?
Naughty?
Naughty.
In fact, that's how I always hear the word. I think
it's,
it's more
that's
elegant.
That's a particular English prerequisite, huh?
Well, in Pittsburghese, naughty, you know, it doesn't do anything. Naughty.
Naughty.
You know? No, I think it belongs in an English accent.
Good. Good. So as well as being naughty in the summer, we actually do operate all year round.
Yes.
Yeah. We have fantastic education programs, and I'm a great believer in that. We have what's become one of the most highly regarded pre-K opera programs in the world, actually.
Bravo.
We've been selected out for special recognition for this program. It's run by a wonderful teaching artist, Christina Farrell. And we reach many hundreds of very young children throughout the region, actually, some of them with learning disabilities. Why is that relevant? Because the brain and singing and rhythm and song are very closely connected. You can teach through singing. We teach early literacy, numeracy, motor skills, social skills, self-expression. I talked about finding your voice. If you get little children to participate and sing and join in, they can discover so much. Just the counting component of singing and dancing at the same time.
Yeah.
So we had for a whole year a marvelous pre-K program based very loosely on The Merry Widow. And it was a sort of city mouse, country mouse thing. Would you rather live in the city, in Paris, or would you rather live in the country, in Pontevedra? Go figure where that is. And we've got fabulous instances of schools create whole artworks around this, and everyone gets involved. We do then workshops with the children and the parents, because you've got to get the parents singing too.
Yeah.
The first meaningful sounds my little girl uttered as a baby were E-I-E-I-O, which came from...
The Farmer in the
Old
Dell.
MacDonald had a farm.
Right, MacDonald.
And 50 to 80 years ago, everyone was taught many basics through singing. My grandmother, well, that'd be 100 years ago. my grandmother, on my father's side, could sing every single song they taught her in primary school. Many of them were counting songs. Some of them were language acquisition songs. She could sing them to the day she was 94. And that's the way the brain works, and that's the way the human mechanisms of brain, tongue, ear, rhythm, body, movement, they work like that. And we've ignored it a long time, and we're becoming, as we evolve further into our education, functions of keyboards and screens, very actually passive. And music and drama have fast lost, actually, their places in many schools, not just public schools. So we're fighting a rearguard action from the grassroots up.
Good.
We also do middle and high school programs in winter, in February, March, which are terrific, and we produce operas specially for young people. And then we make ourselves go grey, getting a festival together that has three main stage productions, I think 12 performances of those, about 25 performances that are ticketed events, plus cabarets, happy hours, master classes, a young artist's training program. Yeah, so deep down and underneath, you know, I've got fine black full hair like you, but opera theatre has turned me grey.
But you know, it has been worth it. You are doing
it has, actually.
You are doing important work. Opera Theatre of Pittsburgh
really is.
It has a great presence here in this city.
And it's fun, you know, because the best things are fun too.
Oh yeah, you guys are having one big party all year round.
Work plus fun, discipline plus exuberance, and that's great.
You've got a good formula.
A good mixture, yeah.
Cheers to that, Mr. Eaton.
Cheers to you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.